Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 8th, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Mark Nelson about a paper from his group that was published in the May 4th issue of Science. Nelson's group has used a biosensor to investigate calcium signaling in the endothelial cells that line arteries. Calcium signaling in endothelial cells is critical for their ability to regulate the function of the underlying vascular smooth muscle cells. Contraction and dilation of these smooth muscle cells controls blood vessel diameter, which is important for regulating blood flow and pressure. Dr. Nelson spoke to me from the University of Vermont in Burlington. Welcome, Dr. Nelson.
Thank you.
Before we talk about your work and this latest paper, I wanted to cover a little bit of background on blood vessel anatomy. Can you describe the structure of a blood vessel, like the types of cells that are present and what those cell types do?
A blood vessel consists of the inner lining of endothelial cells. These cells line all blood vessels, and there are approximately 10 trillion endothelial cells in your body, or 1.4% of the body mass. The endothelial cells are then in direct contact with the blood, and on the other side of the endothelial cells are smooth muscle cells that regulate the diameter of the blood vessel. Their major function is to control smooth muscle contractility and control the barrier function between the blood and the organs on the other side. For example, endothelial cells constitute the blood-brain barrier. Wrapped around endothelial cells circumferentially are smooth muscle cells, and then on the smooth muscle cells, depending on where they are in the body, are nerves that release hormones and neurotransmitters that control smooth muscle function. So that's the basic anatomy.
So the vascular smooth muscle cells are controlled both by the endothelial cells that are on the inside of the vessel and by input from nerves that come from the outside of the vessel.
Yes, the smooth muscle cells are controlled by substances that are released from the endothelial cells or by direct coupling to the endothelial cells. And then the other side of the smooth muscle cells are nerves that also control smooth muscle. So you can imagine the smooth muscle is sort of sandwiched between the endothelium and nerves, and both influence the contractility and the barrier functions of the endothelium of the blood vessel. Now, in some organs, the blood vessels are encased by other cell types, such as astrocytes in the brain, and then outside the brain, the blood vessels might also be encased by fat cells, for example, that also can influence blood vessel function.
In this paper, you talk quite a bit about vascular tone. Can you explain what vascular tone is?
Vascular tone is the degree of contraction of the smooth muscle cells that wrap around the endothelial cells, and this degree of contraction determines the diameter. And so when we talk about tone, just like in your muscle tone, it's the amount of contraction that's going on. So the greater tone means the blood vessel is more contracted, the blood vessel diameter is narrower, and then blood flow is less, and generally blood pressure would go up.
Is it the nerve cell input or the endothelial cells that regulate smooth muscle generation of tone?
The tone is first regulated by an intrinsic property of the smooth muscle cells to constrict to an elevation in blood pressure. This is particularly prominent in small blood vessels, and so this is called myogenic or pressure-induced constriction. And then that degree of constriction is then modulated both by the endothelium and by the nerves.
How do the endothelial cells communicate with the smooth muscle cells to tell them how much to contract?
The endothelial cells communicate with the smooth muscle cells through a number of mechanisms. A very important one is through the release of the gas nitric oxide, which then relaxes the smooth muscle cells. And in fact, some commonly used medications such as nitroglycerin also release nitric oxide to relax smooth muscle cells. They also do it by another mechanism, which is prominent in our paper, called endothelial-derived hyperpolarizing factor, which then communicates in a mechanism independent of nitric oxide to relax smooth muscle. And this is likely caused by direct spread of electrical current from the endothelial cell through contact with the smooth muscle cell to cause the smooth muscle cell to relax.
In endothelial cells, calcium signaling is really important for their being able to influence the activity of the vascular smooth muscle cells. In this paper, you used a biosensor that fluoresces when calcium is present to look at the calcium pulses that occur in the endothelial cells in isolated arteries in real time and at high resolution. What did this sensor allow you to see that hadn't been seen before?
The sensor is a genetically encoded calcium biosensor based on enhanced green fluorescent protein, which won the Nobel Prize a few years ago. And so this is genetically encoded, so it's only expressed in the endothelial cells in the blood vessel wall. So when calcium goes up, this reporter, only in the endothelial cells, fluoresces and gives off light. And so we have no contamination from signals from other cell types in the blood vessel wall. So this provided a very powerful approach to look at calcium signaling only in the vascular endothelium. We take very small arteries that are a little wider than a hair, and we surgically open them and pin them out, and we're able to look at 14 of these endothelial cells simultaneously. We were able to see little discrete elevations of calcium that happen in parts of individual cells. And so we're actually able to see sort of the real world of what's going on in calcium at the subcellular level in a native preparation. And what we saw then, to our surprise, now not to our surprise, was that calcium didn't go up in a uniform way in all the cells. We just saw little flashes of calcium in different parts of the cells, and we call these sparklets.
You observe these small bursts of calcium, these sparklets, that were localized to distinct areas within the endothelial cells.
Yeah.
How are those sparklets generated, and what do they do? What's their purpose?
The sparklets reflect calcium entry through single calcium permeable ion channels in the surface membrane of the endothelial cell. And so what we're basically seeing is calcium movement through a single ion channel in the cell membrane of the endothelial cell. And the ion channel protein that conducts the calcium is called the TRPV4, or transient receptor potential vanilloid 4. And these ion channels are in the same family as the ion channels that are involved in sensing hot peppers, for example. So the sparklets are due to calcium entry from the outside of the cell to the inside of the cell through single ion channel proteins, the TRPV4 channel.
What triggers calcium entry through the TRPV4 channels?
Well, that's a key and fundamental question. One thing that we show in the paper is that acetylcholine, working through its second messengers, opens this channel to cause dilation. And so that's one mechanism. So hormones or neurotransmitters that work on the endothelium, and acetylcholine is a classic one that's been used for decades to cause endothelium-dependent dilation, works in large part by activating TRPV4 channels. These channels are also the sensors probably for shear stress that happens when the blood flows across the endothelial cell membranes. So that's something that's there's evidence for and we're also exploring. They're also very temperature sensitive, so they may also be sensing small fluctuations in temperature as blood flow changes. So there are a number of things that clearly can and potentially modulate at moment to moment. And the one we show in the paper is acetylcholine.
And once those calcium sparklets are generated within the endothelial cell, what do they do? What effect do they have on the endothelial cell or eventually on the smooth muscle cells?
So what we've shown in the paper that is as few as a couple channels open in one cell, so as few as two proteins letting calcium through, that calcium then triggers a couple nearby TRPV4 channels to open to let more calcium come in, and the calcium inside the endothelial cell activates another type of ion channel that's calcium sensitive. It's a potassium channel, and this causes an electrical current to spread from the endothelial cell to the smooth muscle cell to cause vasodilation. So the calcium comes into one spot, amplifies its own signal, then activates nearby potassium channels to cause an electrical signal that's conducted to the smooth muscle to cause a profound vasodilation.
In this paper, you contrast calcium sparklets with calcium pulsars. What are calcium pulsars and how do they differ from the sparklets?
Calcium pulsars represent the release of calcium from intracellular stores through IP3 receptor channels to cause a local stationary signal in the endothelial cell. So simply put, calcium can go up inside the endothelial cell by either coming in from outside, in the case of the current paper, through TRPV4 channels, or be released from intracellular stores through IP3 receptors. So we identified these pulsars with similar techniques about 3 years ago, and these are spike-like releases of calcium through IP3 receptors from intracellular release. So they work together with calcium coming from the outside to generate signals that cause the smooth muscle cells to relax.
Are the calcium pulsars localized within the cell like the sparklets, or are they more widespread within the cell?
Well, it's probably the other way around. We found the calcium pulsars occur primarily in endothelial projections in the smooth muscle cells, whereas the TRPV4 sparklets, the elementary calcium entry, they happen at the same spot at these projections of the smooth muscle, and they happen at the ends of the cells, and we've seen them elsewhere in the cell membrane. So they're not as localized, but our thought is that perhaps the sparklets that occur at the projections near these other signals, the pulsars, are involved in vasodilation, and maybe the signals elsewhere are involved in signaling to other calcium-dependent processes in the endothelial cells.
You said that calcium coming in through just a very few molecules of TRPV4 can be enough to instigate these little calcium sparklets that can then...
Right. Well, you imagine each sparklet is a little puff of calcium below the channel mouth. So one sparklet from our data looks like it's calcium going through one protein.
So that means that the endothelial cells must be exquisitely sensitive to whatever is triggering the opening of the TRPV4 channels.
Yeah.
How does that translate into dynamic regulation of vascular tone?
It suggests that very small changes in the activity of these channels, either by shear stress, maybe temperature, transmitters such as acetylcholine, can regulate the diameter in a way to have a profound effect on blood flow. And all you really need is to have double the number of channels open, and you have a very profound change in blood flow. So it's exquisitely regulated. And it's in such a perfect system, because if you have several hundred of these molecules, but you're really working at the low end, such as one or two are active at any given moment, you have really fine control. It's just like having a dial on an old stereo, where you have really fine control, where you can move the volume around very exquisitely to hear the perfect sound.
Doesn't that also mean that the system is more susceptible to noise?
You have to have it very finely controlled. Almost every cardiovascular disease and even a lot of other diseases are characterized by endothelial dysfunction. You don't get the right vasodilation or barrier function goes. And so I think normally these things are really exquisitely regulated and you need that fine control. But under pathological conditions, perhaps hypertension, septic shock, this regulation is gone. And so, for example, anything that would be characterized by a profound drop in blood pressure and an increase and permeability across the blood vessel wall could be a result of too much calcium coming in through these channels. And a classic disease situation would be sepsis, where the blood pressure goes down and the blood vessels become leaky.
Thank you, Dr. Nelson, for speaking with me.
Well, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
That was Mark Nelson, senior author of a paper published in the May 4th issue of Science Magazine. That paper by Sankusare and colleagues is titled Elementary Calcium Signals Through Endothelial TRPV4 Channels Regulate Vascular Function. That paper is also discussed in commentary by Lederer titled Super Resolution Signaling in Arteries. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.